here to wrap up KER Politics. Jim, I'd like you to continue your train of thought before we had to take a break for the commercials, and that had to do with general macro comments about the economy. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, so, you know, what we have here, and what I was just finishing on the end of the last segment there was, you know, we haven't even seen the implications on labor costs. The way this cycle is working right now, there was a tremendous amount of money pumped into the economy, into individuals because of the slowdown of the corona lockdowns. And Trump started that. There's no question. You know, he gave a lot of money out to people right away. And then they were trying to get people back to work in his administration. But the Biden administration continued for a long period of time, over a year, pushing the COVID lockdown agenda, keeping people out, forcing mandates on federal workers for vaccinations, firing people from economies. It was a tremendous amount of influence that on the economy. While that went forward, they pumped more money and then spent more money. Pumping that money created the inflationary cycle we have now. And then you do have problems like, you know, energy and costs that were from the, you know, Ukraine, some of the issues with the Putin invasion, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That had minor implications, but the inflation started well before any of that happened. And yeah, of course, some of the, and so then, so you've got starting off with the pumping more money in, you've got increase in prices, then you're going to, you get supply chain issues, you get shortage of supplies, people aren't be able to do that. And then you've got labor, and that are right now where we have a tremendous shortage of labor, but a lot of the small businesses are not going to be able to hire people because of the increased labor costs, not having supplies. And I'm seeing it. I just have driven all up the East Coast, all the way up from South Carolina to Maine over the last week. And almost every place we went to, from Virginia up through New York and Connecticut, Maine, Pennsylvania, they are short employees. And of course, they're not going to be able to afford to increase their wages if they don't have supplies. Inflation is increasing so much. We have not seen the bottom of this, or this, I should say, the top of the inflation cycle, but the bottom of very negative economic problems. And it's driven by ideologues inside Washington right now that are pushing a climate agenda.
Hmm. You know, it's really interesting what's going on right now. It's the U.S. is in a more, I would have to say, precarious position than it's ever been that I have witnessed in my lifetime. I'm just hoping that we can get out of this. I'm hoping that cooler heads will prevail. I guess we'll find out probably today and certainly this weekend. Are cooler heads going to prevail, or is the Roe v. Wade decision going to force us into more violence in the streets? I got to tell you, when I was a kid, and I know this is true for you, Jerry, I know it's true for you, CFS, Tony, I'm sure it's true for you, Charter, etc., etc. None of us have ever experienced, I'm assuming we're all about the same age, and none of us have ever experienced the level of violence and the level of, I guess the correct word here is, animus that we see every day in major cities, at least on the West Coast in the United States. Jimmy, how about some general comments about that?
There is a tremendous amount of violence. In the 60s, there was a lot of upset. And we can look at some of the weather underground, some of the violent leftist attacks, and some of the you know, the rise of the Black Panthers, anger with police, and a lot of riot segment of the population. What we're seeing today is a very different dynamic. What we're seeing is a full-on, progressively driven political party that is driving the violence much more than that 5 or 7 or 10% that maybe is not in the extremes in the 60s and the early 70s. Now we've got 30-40% of an aggressive, progressive Democratic Party that's taking actions with the George Floyd riots, with Antifa, with BLM, and of course now with Roe v. Wade. That's unlike anything that we've had since really with that big of a divide in our population, and it's being driven by political agendas trying to gain more power. And of course, the other side, the left will say, oh no, it's the right, authoritarianism, and trying to you know, dictate what's going to happen to your future. And I think those are very inconsistent arguments, but the real problem is most people do not understand. Most Americans have not been educated in the impact of a centralized control system. They don't understand anymore how damaging the former Soviet system was, how damaging communism was in China and Mao's regime or Cambodia or Vietnam in those early years. What we're seeing now is actually an acceptance and a tolerance for that type of look to a great leader and then alienate the opposition to extreme. And that's creating a tremendous divide in America right now.
Well, there's no question about that. It's interesting when you take a look at what's going on in China, which has obviously a very different political system than we do. With the strength that China is gaining in the world, you have to give them a little bit of credit, because China, in my opinion, has become, not without a doubt, but arguably, probably the strongest nation in the world today. And I think if they had perhaps more nuclear power, that word wouldn't even be in there. What are your comments, Jimmy?
Well, they haven't quite reached economic parity with the United States or the EU, but they will soon if we continue down this rate of growth and submission to their policies. Mm-hmm. There is a big counterweight out there, and that's India. I just watched an interesting video today watching about the growth of India, and it's something that the Trump administration understood very well. That's a, you know, sizable economy, very powerful military, very powerful a democratic system. It's challenged, but it's a democratic system. Somewhere that the West needs to find a way to align a little bit more directly with to avoid the China power. But what we're seeing is corporate influence that is willing to sell out basic principles of our Constitution, individual rights, in order to achieve financial gains by staying involved in China. And that's because they've invested so heavily in manufacturing, in data transfer, in the institutions in that system. And unfortunately, that's the problem right now, when we have no one at the helm, really nobody, no individual at the helm of the United States. You've got a very problematic leader that is really has to be told exactly when to sit down and how to speak, as the data showed yesterday from picture, but there's notes, script cards of what to do when talking to people.
Well, who'd have thought?
And I'm talking about Joe Biden.
I understand. Who'd have thought is really about all I can say. You know, to wrap up the economic discussion, which I think is very important right now because it is an excellent thermometer about what's going on in the United States. Certainly not a good thermometer dealing with the unrest that we may very well see this weekend. But in terms of quality of life in the United States, the economic barometer really is, in my opinion, the number one indicator. You look at the fact that housing prices are going to begin to go down, and I'd like to leave listeners with one specific thought, and that is if the bank account called equity goes away, what is that going to do to the U.S. economy? Pardon me. I'd like you guys to think about that. Equity is giving people an awful lot of comfort because many people have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in equity, which I call funny money. How do you think if that goes away, that would affect the general feeling of well-being in the United States? We've got a minute left, Jim. Not even that.
Yeah. If you can't afford to buy a house because the rates of mortgages, and if you are losing your job because of the high costs of labor and the low production that will result in these supply chain issues, it's fairly problematic. And again, the people that are going to suffer most are the people on the lowest end of the spectrum. Yes. Just because you got $1 million, maybe you're not as worried about it if you got $1 million in equity in your home. But if you are on the margins and you're living month to month, which is actually a very sizable set of the population, we're in deep trouble. And that's why you're seeing these indicators of concern.
We're in huge trouble when that $1 million goes away. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We enjoyed putting it together.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.